This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Today on the show, we have Danny Leong, Group CEO of GHL Systems Berhad. Danny, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Joyce. Thanks for having me.
Well, GHL manages more than 310,000 acceptance payment points all over ASEAN. The system enables credit cards, debit cards, prepaid contactless payment, among others, as well as bill payment collection services. Being one of the earlier entrants into the payments ecosystem, tell us, Danny, how is GHL adapting to the evolving payments landscape?
Interesting question. GHL has been in the market in payments for more than 20 years. We started actually supplying EDC or terminals, credit card terminals to the banks, and we have moved into a new area called a transaction payment acquisition, whereby we actually acquire, i.e. engage directly with merchants to provide payment services. Mm-hmm. And these payment services actually includes traditional ones like credit card, debit card, and we moved into the world of QR, e-wallets, the likes of Alipay, the likes of the touch and go booths of the in the local market. Mm. So it's been very, very challenging for the last 2 years, mainly due to the, I would say, the explosion of payment schemes that came to the market in ASEAN, primarily driven by the likes of Alipay.
Mm. So when you say explosion of payment scheme, yeah, definitely there have also been a lot of new entrants into this industry. Everybody wants a piece of this pie, right? When you say challenging, can you share a bit more of the challenges that you're facing? Is it because competition is stiff, or is it because too many players that is saturating the market? What is happening?
The challenging part is actually every new, for example, as you know, in Malaysia's context, this year and last year, Boost and Touch and Go Digital have launched together the likes of VCash, Kipper Pay, etc. They are all expecting it to be launched ASAP.
Okay.
Right. The challenge is actually enabling it ASAP and providing it to a large acceptance point as ASAP. So the challenge is not so much a competition, it's more of enabling them to go to market as fast as possible.
Okay. So the keyword also, you said acceptance points, getting acceptance points fast, being, I guess, executed fast into the payments ecosystem. But do you see the take-up rate actually there, though? You know, we have so many players in this system, but then again, a lot more Malaysians are still using cash, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, and that's the beauty of the e-wallet, right? If you look at the whole migration of cashless, mm-hmm. people start with basically with credit card. Right, but not everybody has creditworthiness. Right, then the actual growth started with debit card, whereby if I have a bank account, I've got a ATM card which I can use to pay. Right, but what about the unbanked, meaning those that without a bank mm-hmm. account? So they would be actually served by the e-wallet players, and this is not only for Malaysia. It's even more apparent in the likes of Thailand and Philippines. So with all this, I would call it different types of payment schemes coming in, it would definitely give us a big push to a cashless society, right? Having said that, of course, the mindset migration, the change of mentality will take some time. Mm. And what our role is always to enable an ecosystem, it's actually a chicken and egg case. Whether there's places that I can use a new wallet.
Yeah.
And whether there's subscribers mm-hmm. to actually start pulling out the phone to make payment. So our role in this ecosystem is to enable as many merchants as possible, as fast as possible, to accept as many wallets and payment system schemes as possible. Then it's down to the e-wallet guys like Touch and Go, Boost, that will actually encourage the consumers to start using it by enticing them with certain discounts, etc. So the take-up rate is it's actually growing. From the numbers that we see, right? And I think with competition among the e-wallet players, I think it will be very, very healthy moving forward.
So when you say growing, do you have any data on that?
We have the data, but I'm not at liberty to share, but the spikes of data is actually quite, because it's a small base, So the growth is going to be in the 100%, month on month, that kind of numbers you're looking at, because it's just from a small base.
But in terms of a number of people using it, but you're saying that you cannot share some data with us. But you see it growing.
Yes, we do see it on the merchant side, yes.
Okay. And so we're talking about merchants platform. How many merchants do you have now in your platform?
Oh, we actually calculate by acceptance point, more than 310,000 across the region.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to guess how many merchants, we'd probably be about, 240,000. But it's a guess, because we usually track it by acceptance points.
Okay. Well, the payments industry was rehauled in 2015 with a push towards using more debit cards. There was an influx of card terminals as a result of this directly affecting merchants. And an interchange fee incurred for debit cards dropped, while interchange fee for credit cards was capped, so consumers will not be shortchanged in a way. How has the evolving landscape impacted your bottom line? You're listed. I noticed that your margins, that has been squeezed.
Good question. Our margin squeeze is basically for investment reasons. I.e., when you actually onboard a new merchant, there is certain investments, there's a certain gestation period, right? Actually, what the Bank Negara has done in 2015 to part of the PCRF framework is actually encouraging merchants to accept debit card and also credit card, by controlling reducing the interchange, right? Mm-hmm. Hence, the cost for a merchant is cheaper, right? Mm-hmm. And we have actually seen very, very good results from that, especially from debit card. We have actually seen much stronger growth in debit card transaction compared to credit card with that initiative by Bank Negara. Mm-hmm. And we have also seen the same thing in Philippines, that our debit card consumption or transaction has growing really, really fast compared to even credit card. So on that note, we are actually very bullish about e-wallet, which is the next phase for the unbanked, that if what debit card can do, and when e-wallet comes in for the unbanked, especially for the likes of Thailand and Philippines, I think the growth will be quite tremendous.
Okay. So when it comes to payments, it's also, I think, one component that's important or crucial to the payment systems taking off, I think, is the reward system. So when it comes to credit cards, you get rewards, you get the points. Debit cards, do you get that as well?
No.
So why would anyone use the debit cards?
That's because me and you have credit cards.
Okay.
My point being is that not everybody gets a credit card.
I see.
Yeah, so basically, the segment usually is people that with creditworthiness will get a credit card.
Right.
Right. And those with a bank account will get an ATM card, but without creditworthiness may not get a credit card. And those without a bank account will usually get an e-wallet.
So when it comes to this margins, as we were talking about margins, you have incumbent payment systems that rely on Visa, MasterCard and UnionPay. They charge merchants an estimated about 2.5% to 3% for the merchant discount rate. New rivals like Alipay charge between 0.7% to 1.2%. So this is simply because the infrastructure for digital payments, that's cheap to deploy. And conventional payment systems require sophisticated payments terminals that needs to be certified and all that. In contrast, you have merchants that want to use Alipay or WeChat Pay only needs smart devices or an internet connection. So as you grapple with thinning margins, what business strategies is GHL employing to reverse this trend?
Okay, very good analysis there. In theory, typically a credit card transaction will always cost the most. Okay, and debit and e-wallet are probably similar. Depends on which phase of the maturity of the market, right? And if my personal view is how we take over this, handle this challenge is enabling the same acceptance point to accept everything.
Okay,
which we are doing today.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I can have a credit card terminal with a scanner, or all-in-one device that accepts whether it's a debit, credit, or any of the QR payment, contactless, Samsung Pay, etc. That when you see that, basically, I actually don't really mind whichever transaction that comes through, because as long as it comes through the same device that I provide, right? And usually, the MDR charge to the merchant would have a revenue impact to me if it's reduced, because that's how we track our clock our revenue. However, the spreads that we actually get tends to be potentially sometimes our spread for the lower MDR product could be higher.
Okay, okay.
So there's a blend that comes in from a merchant. Mm-hmm. So we actually manage that blend rather than by products.
Mm. Do you see your margins improving moving forward?
I think it will stabilize.
It will stabilize. So the reason for the thinning margins is because of what in recent years?
I think basically investment. Basically, every device you put out, there's a certain gestation period that before it comes back in, depreciation, etc., installation costs, etc.
How long's the gestation period?
Depends on market, 12 to 15 months.
Okay. Yeah. It depends on market. So 12 to 15 months for Malaysia?
Malaysia is probably slightly higher, about 15. Philippines is probably about 8.
Oh,
yeah, depends on market. And I guess a bit more complicated, depends on what I put out in the market. If I put a static QR in the market, that is almost hardly within a month I'll get it back. For example, depends on what device we put out.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to Danny Leong, Group CEO of GHL Systems Berhad. After this, we'll talk more about the evolutions of the payment sector, as well as discuss the company's growth plans. Stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Good morning. You're listening to the Breakfast Grill, and my guest today is Danny Leong, Group CEO of GHL Systems Berhad. Danny, earlier we were talking about the evolution of the payment system. Now, let's talk about your expansion strategies in the midst of rising competition in the payment system. Looking at this, I mean, the need to achieve scale and leverage on engineering capabilities has led GHL Systems to be on an M&A path. GHL is no stranger to corporate exercises. In 2013, the company acquired ePay Asia Limited, a company founded by Simon Low, now vice chairman of GHL. Also earlier this year, GHL acquired its rival company, Paces M. Sundaram Berhad, for about $20 million. And just last month, your company announced the acquisition of SpeedPay PLC in Cambodia for over $2 million in cash. So what's the next M&A exercise in the pipeline?
Okay, before that, if you allow me to just emphasize on some of our strategies in terms of growth.
Yes,
basically,
please.
Usually we will look at ASEAN only, okay? Mm-hmm. And we look at footprint growth in two ways. One is basically actual acceptance points, which now we are more than 310,000. We'll continue to aggressively grow that footprint, meaning to say that in time to come, everywhere, any merchants can accept payments, right? That's one part of it. The other one is actually expanding footprint through, may not be just acquisition, but through organic growth, but by countries.
Okay.
If you look at today where we are very, very strong in Malaysia, Thailand, Philippines. Mm-hmm. Okay. We started Indonesia about 2 years ago and focusing on internet payment only, i.e. online payment gateway. We have acquired into SpeedPay in Cambodia. Mm-hmm. They are a full license provider. And obvious reason is to really grow the Cambodian market. And Cambodian market is actually very, very vibrant now, especially with the Chinese investment coming through. And you look at ASEAN, where else is left, right? Vietnam, Myanmar. These are the two really relevant market to us. And Indonesia, we need to do something a bit more significant rather than just online payment, which we have plans for it for next year, right? So in terms of setting up all M&A, I will probably say Vietnam, Myanmar, in the very near future. We're still looking at it. And having said that, we are also very cautious who we acquire, right? Make sure that there are synergies to it, make sure they have the entrepreneurship in the business and know-how in the business.
When you say near future, you mean in 2019, as near as 2019, this year?
We continuously look at it. If a great candidate comes along, things could happen.
Okay, and we talk about Indonesia plans. You're saying that you think that you're going to go bigger. You have to go bigger. Granted, yes, because you can't just do internet payments, because if you want to scale, you need to go bigger. What will your plans be for 2019 for Indonesia?
We are looking at going, as I mentioned, we are only on the online payment space so far. Mm-hmm. We're looking at actually doing what we call the offline space, meaning the card present space, i.e. accepting cards, right? Problem with Indonesia is it looks nice and sexy, right? 250 million population, everybody's pouring money in there, but you burn a lot of money in there, right? And us being listed doesn't help.
Okay.
We don't have the... And the likes of Grab, Gojek that's not listed that can just throw in money and invest in it. We still have to, there are certain expectations on earnings growth, let alone earnings. Right? Mm-hmm. So we do tend to balance that in whatever we do.
So when you go into Indonesia, do you think that it will be a push further in there, a deeper dive in 2019?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
And you'll go into the cards payment systems.
Yep.
How much do you think you'll invest into that market? Because you have some money left still from the money that you raised, over 80 million, out of which about half was used to pay for your Cambodian in buy. But you still have about 40 over million still in your pocket.
And more.
And more.
Yeah, actually,
okay.
our watch is actually quite strong.
How much, right? Do you have?
On cash, I think if you look at the balance sheet, it's about 130 million.
Yeah, you're net cash, correct, positive.
Yeah.
So how much do you think you're going to pour into the Indonesian market?
Because of earning concerns, we'll probably be a few million ringgit to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
See, the idea is always going to be when you need to think about how to spend the money, you think harder.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and us having to balance the earnings growth, so we will be cautious, but we will also be aggressive.
But what I found interesting was this SpeedPay buy that you bought, because it is still loss making though. It has a net loss of about $350,000 for the financial year ended December 31st, 2017. Why buy into this company that is bleeding?
See, at the end of the day, if you go into the new markets, like even Indochina for that, I think everybody you buy will be bleeding because a lot of them are on a startup mode and the ecosystem has not really mature enough to generate profits yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we do see that coming in the near future. Probably in 2-3 years' time, we'll definitely be generating profits from those countries.
Okay, because you know, new markets potential aside, how long do you think GHL can afford to fund a bleeding company? How long before you say, okay, I'm going to walk away from this if it's not making any money?
Usually we would unlikely walk away, but in terms of funding, we have no issue in funding. It's whether we can take the losses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right. Mm. So usually we'll look at it at least 3-4 years minimum before we call it a day. But
okay.
If you see most of the things that we do, we actually make it happen based on our history.
Okay. I noticed also, aside from M&As, you're also quite big into partnerships. So you've inked an agreement with Visa for card acceptance e-payment service. This was just in November 2018. Also, CIMB Bank, I think you have teamed up with CIMB to become the first bank in Malaysia to introduce a QR payments acceptance at its terminals. Also, you pointed as direct merchant acquirer for UnionPay in Malaysia. This was in July. Any other partnerships in the pipeline?
Partnership? Let me see. Usually anybody who comes into a market, right, would pretty much appoint us because if you are serious in the market. Why? Because we already have a base, right? If you look at Alipay, We are working with Alipay in 3 countries. And I think we're the only one in ASEAN that works with Alipay in 3 countries because of our presence in Malaysia, Thailand, Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Back to your question, who else is coming on board? We're talking to Grab.
Okay.
Okay.
You're talking to Grab to do GrabPay?
Yes.
Okay.
And a few other new ones that are coming through. We're still evaluating them. Yeah.
Okay, so when GrabPay comes into your system, means what will happen? How will that translate into your bottom line? Because I noticed that looking at your earnings, GHL's latest 9 months ended September 30th, 2018, revenue grew about nearly 12% on year. You make about 250 million ringgit. Your core net profit rose close to 3% to about nearly 80 million ringgit. Do you see this, you know, the same earnings momentum in this new year for 2019?
We will try to maintain that. In addition to investment, balancing with investment.
Okay. So you think that if you're going to maintain, so that might hit your bottom line, if investments, your top line,
correct,
might still be the same, but your bottom line might be hit. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, because I think as well.
There will always be a growth in the top line.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, we try to manage it across what we organically earn and grow with investments that we put in place.
So you think maybe your profits for 2019 might come down a bit? And because of investments, is that what you're
potentially
saying? Yeah. So because you're expecting potentially higher OPEX, depreciation, tax expenses as well, following this consolidation with PACES, this Cambodian venture. So you might even invest more into new markets, such as you mentioned, go deeper into Indonesia as well as maybe Myanmar and Vietnam.
Yep.
So it looks like quite a busy year for you for 2019.
When we thought 2018 was busy, I think looking at my business plan for 2019, I think it's worse than 2018. But that's the name of the game at this in the payment space at this time.
Yeah, because speed is everything, right? Yeah. Well, the payment system, is big right now in this current landscape that we're in, thanks to technology. But there's still growing distrust when it comes to online payments. You can see recently, recent polls show that about 50% of Malaysian consumers distrust online payment security. What are your comments about that? And what are you doing to ensure that payments on your system is safe?
Okay, there's two. To me, there's two parts to it. All right, very, very good question. One is actually the actual back end part, which is how do you secure your back end, etc. That I think most people would do it fairly well, right? Then the other part is the front end part, i.e., when you transact as a end user, what do you see, right? People get worried whenever another screen pops up. Should I key in my tech number there, etc. Right. So we have actually launched a new product that actually. You won't see that happen anymore. You actually, we kind of embed the whole transaction into the merchant's website. So the end user will feel comfortable that I'm still within the merchant's website rather than popping up to another window.
Okay.
Right. Among other things. Yeah. So to me, there's two parts to it. We are working on the user experience part.
Mm. What's your fraud ratio like?
Very, very low.
Okay.
Very, I mean, it's not even 1%, not even 0.5. It's very, something that I don't really look at. It's okay. Very, very low.
Okay. And so you don't think security is an issue for your system?
No.
GHL has been in this industry for decades right now. Where do you see the future of payments?
I think future of payments, let's be what more is, specific, electronic payment.
Okay,
or cashless
payment,
right?
Yeah.
I think you'll be a significant part of I think move cash out of the way a lot, right? Reason why, because of the new generations coming in, if you see the availability of different modes of payments from contactless to mobile phone payment, it's actually aligned to the growing population, right? And why I keep saying the word explosion, so if you look at, I always tell people, if you're in the payment, if I were in the payment industry 20 years ago and I was doing credit card and of late only debit card, and 1.5 years ago, you come into the QR payment, I probably would have left after 10 years. Because you imagine, look at it, it's just credit card all the way in it. But if you look at what's happened in the last few years, the types of payment methods that you have, no matter you're old, young, etc., there's so many options, you can choose what you want. So, and why is that happening? Because that would really, really encourage people to move into cashless. Mm. And I do see that it will become a very, very significant shift over time, to cashless.
Well, GHL is sitting on over 100 million cash, your net cash position. What are your plans for dividends? Do you think shareholders will get any dividends this year?
We don't have any dividend plans.
Yeah,
yet.
You don't have any dividend policy. That's right.
But at the moment, no dividend plans.
But you're sitting on so much cash, though.
The idea of the market being in fintech is actually to invest and grow. I think that's our promise to the shareholders, that we will grow.
Okay.
The market value, rather.
So eventually, once you grow, do you think you'll have a dividend policy in place?
Some point in time, yes, but depends on what year you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, I've been speaking to Danny Leong, Group CEO of GHL Systems Berhad. Danny, thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. It was a pleasure having you on the show. I'm Joyce Goh for The Breakfast Grill on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.